And we're turning together in God's Word for our scripture reading this evening to the book of the Psalms and to the Psalm numbered 14. Psalm numbered 14. It is to the chief musician, and it is a psalm of David. And Psalm 14 is almost repeated word for word in Psalm 53. And so here's a word that appears twice in the Word of God. And when any word in the Bible is repeated, it is for emphasis. And so here's a word that is underlined in our hearts and in our minds this evening. The Psalm numbered 14, and we read from verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to the reading of this psalm. May the Lord bless it to each one of our hearts this evening. Amen. Let us turn together in God's Word to the portion of Scripture we have read together. It's the Psalm number 14. Psalm numbered 14, and the opening verse is my text of scripture for this evening in the Gospel. Psalm 14 and the verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And I'm speaking a little this evening on the foolishness of atheism. The foolishness of atheism. Let's unite together in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord for help in the ministry of his word. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank thee tonight for our coming together here, and for the privilege of having thy word before us. And we thank thee, our Father, that thy word is truth. And we praise thee that that word is quick and powerful. And we pray, our Father, that each one of us tonight might know the power of thy precious word as it would be applied by the Holy Spirit of God. And I ask thee for help in the ministry of thy word. We've been charged, O God, to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So, Lord, abide with us now and give us help from heaven to glorify thy name. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, if I was to ask you this evening for the definition of an atheist, you would probably say, well, that's one who doesn't believe in God. And of course, that's right, that statement, and as far as it goes. But let me put it another way. An atheist is someone who believes there is no God. Because the atheist is a believer. They just believe the wrong thing. And so an atheist is one who believes there is no God. We who are believers or Christians, we believe there is a God. The atheist believes there is no God.
We believe there is a creator. The atheist believes there is no creator, and so they have their system of beliefs in that sense. And yet, whenever we look around us in this world, and we look at nature, and we look at this universe, and we lift our eyes even to the heavens that declare the glory of God, and you think of the universe that is above us with all of the planets and the heavenly bodies, and we see how they're all put in motion in this world. There's enough evidence in all of that to teach us tonight that there is a God, that there is a designer, there is a sovereign creator. Whenever we were reading down the Psalm 14, I'm sure there at places you were reminded of Paul's letter to the Romans. And there would be no doubt in my mind this evening that whenever Paul was writing his letter to the Romans, particularly in the first three chapters, he had in mind Psalm 14. And you could take it up yourself and you could see the line of teaching that there is there that's very similar between the psalm here that's penned by David and the epistle to the Romans that's penned by the Apostle Paul. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul is speaking here about the evidence that there is to teach us that there is a God. Of course, we have the Bible, and we have that special revelation from God. But if we were to think just of creation, and there is something of a revelation to us in creation, it reveals to us that there is a God. In Romans chapter 1 and the verse 20, this has been the line of argument here with the Apostle Paul. And he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by these things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And Paul is saying to the Romans there in chapter 1, "My, if you were to consider the visible things, those things that we can see with the naked eye, the creation of the world, it's teaching us that there is a God." In Romans 1 and the verse 20, we have the words there, "clearly seen." It is something that is clearly seen, even from creation itself, and it's teaching us that there is a God, there is a designer, there is a creator, to the extent that every individual, if they never had the Bible, they only had creation itself, they're still without excuse. Because what we can see with the naked eye is sufficient evidence that there is a God. But the atheist refuses to accept it. The atheist refuses to accept that there is a God and there is a creator. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And that's the foolishness that the psalmist David was speaking about when he said in our text this evening, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The atheist believes, but they believe there is no God. Sir Isaac Newton is one of the most influential scientists of all times. And in his day, he built a scaled replica of the universe. And he had there his large golden ball to represent the sun. And he put the planets in all of their order. And he had a set of wheels and pulleys that tied it all together. And he was able to start it in motion. And you could see there the rotation and how it was all there. So fascinating. Was quite a piece of machinery even in the days of Sir Isaac Newton. And as he had all this machinery that he had made, this model was there together, a friend came who was an atheist. The friend was intrigued with the model. And as he looked at it and he was able to see its operation, he then asked Isaac Newton a question, and he said to him, "Who made this?" And without even lifting his head, Isaac Newton said, "Nobody. Nobody. It just came together by chance." You see, that's the theory, that's the belief of the atheist, that all that we see around us, it just all happened by chance. Our text of Scripture says that's foolishness. That's an absurd notion. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and the verse 12, he speaks about those who are without God and without hope in this world. And the words there, "without God," in the original Greek, it's atheos. The atheist is one who is without God. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." And as we think about this text of Scripture for just a moment or two together in the Gospel, there's a few points that I would like to leave before you tonight concerning the atheist. There's the description of the atheist. And here's what the Bible says. Here's the description that God puts upon the atheist. And our verse says, the fool. That's the description of God's word for the atheist. It's the simplest of terms. We would all know what a fool is. It's someone who is without understanding. It's someone who lacks the proper understanding. And in the book of Proverbs, you'll often find the term fool being used. And it's used in contrast to the wise. It's the very opposite to the wise. The wise and the foolish. And the book of Proverbs would give to us just some of those characteristics of the fool. Proverbs chapter 12 and the verse 15. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And don't we have today the proud atheists going about feeling that they have the right answer? The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter 14 and in the verse 16, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." The fool rageth and is confident. And you think of the atheists today, not only do they believe there is no God, but may they rage against the Christian and against our God. They take exception to that. They would rage against us, and may they're so bold, they're so proud, they're so confident. And we can see here those characteristics are given in Proverbs of the fool. Such a brashness there is today when they would want to openly declare they believe there is no God. It's a secular society today, becoming more and more secular, and the more society becomes secular, the more atheism is on the rise. And my, you could have those today who might be wise in the eyes of the world. And they could be teachers in schools. They could be professors in universities. But they would say there's no God. May they would influence our up-and-coming generation. They would influence our young people. They would want to impress that upon them, that they would adopt that position too. And they would say there is no God. They would tell them you need to be more free-thinking. And all of the science would teach us that there is no God. The evidence is all there. The eyes of the Lord, they have no understanding. No understanding of the truth. They're fools. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." Do you notice how this Psalm 14 continues in that first verse, that text of Scripture? They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There you can see the corruption that there was in the days of the psalmist David, the corruption that there was in the days of the apostle Paul, and the corruption and abomination that there is abroad in society today. The depravity of man's heart has not changed. And we can see that atheistic outlook on society and the effects and the influence that that would have, and it comes from the corruption of a sinful heart. You see, society today wants to take that position. There is no God. Because if there's no God, then we're not accountable to anyone. If there is no God, then there's no rules. And everyone can do that which is right in their own eyes. Isn't that what we're seeing unfolding in our society today? You look there at verse 3 of this psalm. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The depraved nature of man's heart, the corruption, the sin, the filth, there's no seeking after God. What a sad reflection that is of our society. But here we have the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel that is given to enlighten, that is given to bring understanding there to the heart, to reveal sin for what it is, to show the utter folly of the position of the atheist. And oh, that there might be those that would be wise and who would consider their latter end and would see through the message of the Bible that there is a God in heaven, a God with whom we all have to do. And I would say to you this evening, don't be a fool. And don't be influenced by those fools. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The description of the atheist, and then you can see in our text of Scripture as well, the decision of the atheist. They've said in their heart, they've made a decision. The decision is there in their heart. Now there are some who make known that decision that they've made in their heart. British Humanist Association, they would make it known publicly. Men like Richard Dawkins, they would have openly expressed the conclusion and decision that they have come to in their hearts, and they publicly express it. Here the verse of Scripture might refer to one who has come to that belief in their heart that there is no God. But they haven't expressed it. They've just said it in their heart. They'll keep it to themselves. But you know, it soon breaks forth. Because if you have come to that belief in your heart that there is no God, it will soon begin to show in your life. Because what is in the heart will come out, and it comes out in the lifestyle. And there are those today who might not be coming out and saying, oh, I am an atheist, but they're living as if there's no God. They're practical atheists. And they've made a mammoth decision. A decision within their heart. The greatest of all decisions. And they've made it within their heart. And they've said, there is no God. In fact, if you were to look closely at our text of Scripture, those words, there is, are in italics. And what that means when you come across words in italics in the King James Version of the Scriptures means that those words were not in the original language, but they have been added by the translators of our authorized version to help give the sense and the flow and the meaning of what is being said. But they put them in italics. But you could take those italics out and you would see exactly what the atheist here has said. The fool hath said in his heart, no God, no God. That's the decision they have come to. No God for me. They're not even coming out to deny the evidence and the existence of God. They're just saying, no God for me. And they've come to that decision within their heart. Oh, they may try to put out excuses and say, well, if there is a God in heaven, how come there are so many famines and disasters in the world and so many wars and so many earthquakes and so much suffering and pain in the world? And of course, the Bible has much to say on all of those particular matters, but they're not interested in what the Bible has to say because they've already come to that decision in their heart, no God. Don't talk to me about God. The atheist and the decision that they have made, they would put forth other excuses and say, well, science has proved that there is no God, and science has proved that all of this world came into being by evolution. I don't think so. Of course, that comes from Charles Darwin. 1859, published his book, The Origin of the Species. 1859 was a year of great revival in our province here when many hundreds and thousands of souls were getting saved, but that was the year he published his book. There are those who are coming to follow on the theory that Darwin put forth, and they're saying, well, we used to believe in creation and in God, but now we know that that's not true. Science has proved that the world and all that there is in the world has just evolved from slime. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. Evolution is a theory and nothing but a theory, and evolution and science has proved nothing of the sort. And I ask the question tonight, where did this universe come from? How did it come into being? How did it exist? And how is it all held together? It's not by chance. It's not by accident. That would be unthinkable. You look at us tonight, look at mankind, look at every individual being. When we look at the complexity of the human body that we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made, could we really be satisfied to say that man came about as an accident? And man came about by way of chance and of evolution over millions of years? I have to tonight take exception to such teaching. And I protest against it tonight. I believe in Genesis chapter 1. And yet there are those who would take the position of the atheist tonight. But the heart is deceitful above all things and it's desperately wicked. And they have said in their heart, no God, no God. My, it's folly. That's what the Lord says. It's foolishness to take up such a position. Though that you would be wise this evening and you would see that there is a creator and that there is a God and that the Lord through his word would even enlighten your heart this evening and you would be brought to that place of concern for your soul. And as to how you stand before the Creator God, your Maker, and that one day you're going to have to give account to Him, that you would see tonight your need for forgiveness, your need for cleansing of sin. And that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and through the great work that He accomplished at Calvary. Oh, that you would come to another decision tonight, and that is to decide for the Lord Jesus Christ, to take that step of faith, to decide that you're going to come to Him, you're going to trust in Him as your own and personal Savior, and oh, that tonight could be the very night of your salvation. Don't be the fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The description of the fool, the decision of the fool, and then the destiny. The destiny of the foolish atheist. And you see, the stakes are high here this evening. This is the all-important matter. This is the all-important issue of how you will stand in eternity. And therefore tonight, if you haven't up to this point, then just now give serious and prayerful consideration to this as to where you will be in eternity. Because we know that what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ shapes and settles your eternal destiny. It's either heaven tonight for those who are the saved of the Lord, or it's hell. It's hell for those that are unconverted and unprepared. The Bible is true. And the Bible teaches us tonight that those who do not believe in God will have an eternity of misery, an eternity of damnation, of destruction, of eternal death, that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You're going to have to meet your Maker. Hebrews 9 and 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The atheist tonight would be saying, no God. No God. But one day they will stand before Almighty God and they will have to give account. The destiny of the atheist. Dear sinner, it's here, it's taught in the Word of God, it's real. And we would plead with your soul tonight that you would be wise, that you would consider your own latter end. Do you remember the man that the Lord called a fool in Luke chapter 12? He was the rich farmer, one whose ground brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. He said, this shall I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And there was one who had no thought for God or for eternity. He is one who has said, no God for me. No, I have done well in life. I have prospered in life. I'm able to extend my business. I'm able to look into retirement. I'm going to take mine ease. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And that very night, the Lord came. And the Lord said to him, thou fool, thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Though that you would see here the seriousness of this matter, we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. There is but a step between any one of us and death. And we could be ushered out into eternity. And if you have never come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be that fool tonight. Having heard the gospel, having sat under the gospel, having known your need of salvation, to say no God and to go out into eternity without Christ, you'd be a fool. That man in Luke chapter 12, he was looking for joy, looking for merriment. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that the outlook of the world today? They want to have joy. They want to have merriment. That true lasting joy and satisfaction is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though tonight that you would come and you would close in with his offer of mercy. You would know your sins forgiven. You would know the peace of God within your heart. You would know tonight it is well with your soul. Do you remember the Philippian jailer? He asked a question to Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He got that simple answer, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died upon that center tree, we can come to believe upon him and to rest upon his finished work and to know the cleansing power of his precious blood to cleanse away our sin. And we can know tonight that it is well with our soul, and there's joy and there's peace in believing. There is a God tonight. There is a God. Don't be a fool. Oh, that you would be wise and you would seek the Lord while he may be found. You would call upon him while he is near. We're going to sing those closing verses of John Newton's great hymn. And of course, John Newton was one who himself ran away from God. His mother nurtured him in his early years. She taught him the things of God. She prayed for him. But when he was still young, his mother died. And it was a young John Newton who went out to the seas and to the ships and got involved in the slave trade and was living a very sinful and immoral life. And one day he was aboard the ship called the Greyhound, and he was caught in a terrible storm. And in the midst of that storm, he remembered the Lord, and he cried out to the Lord for mercy. And he would say that that was the point when he was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was later in life when he penned the words of that hymn that have become really probably the world's most famous hymn, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." We'll stand as we sing these remaining verses. Together in a closing word of prayer. And before I close tonight and pronounce the benediction, let me just make that simple appeal in the gospel.
you're here tonight, you've heard God's word, it has created that concern in your heart, then we would urge you not to go away tonight with a troubled and with a burdened soul, but that you would come and close in with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that even now, in the quietness of your heart, you would say, I have decided to follow Jesus. You would take that step of faith. You would step out on the promise. You would get under the blood. If I can be of any help to anyone when the meeting concludes, do feel free to remain behind or to speak to me outside. And it would be a joy just to take that time with you around the open book, around God's word, and to show you tonight how you can be saved, and this matter of your soul and its salvation can be settled for all eternity. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we do praise Thee tonight for Thy presence with us. We do thank Thee for help that has been given in the ministry of Thy word. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst take Thine own precious and infallible word tonight and write it indelibly upon hearts. And grant our Father there might be those in answer to prayer who would come savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, be with us each one. Give us grace to trust in Thee at all times, and grant that even this week, our Father, in this world, we would be as that salt and as that light. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with each one, both now and ever. We ask it in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Amen.